Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 1. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. Well, if all that our life, all that was important about our life was that we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and we get saved, if that's really all there is, that you just live, one day get saved, and that's all, then obviously it would seem like it would be more fitting for us just to, as soon as someone got saved, they could just go on to heaven. We didn't have any really purpose in this life. But the fact remains that it is important what happens between the day that you're born and the day that you die. It is important that we live out the days of our life in the will of God. That we understand that we're here for a purpose and we were made for a mission. We were made for that very purpose, to fulfill the will of God with our life. Many years ago when we were pastoring in Oklahoma, we had built a church building there and put a baptistry in. The person who had installed the heating system for the baptistry had made an error in the electrical part of the heating system. It could have been very dangerous because as soon as it was filled up with water, instead of when you put your hand in the water, you could feel the tingling of electricity in the water. And I, of course, at first I was very nervous about the whole idea of even getting in the baptistry with the possibility of getting electrocuted. And someone said, you know, what would really be interesting is that someone could get saved, baptized, and go to heaven all at the same time. That didn't sound too appealing, but I have thought about it since then because I've noticed some people that they come to the Lord, it's almost as if they really need to do that because they can't stay with it. They can't stay in that place of commitment to the Lord. Actually, I'm glad that whenever Jesus saved us, not only is our ultimate goal our heavenly home, that's our ultimate goal, but we also understand that God saved us for a purpose in this life. He's given to all of us a calling and a mission to be fulfilled. And you're never really going to be fully happy and content in your life until you get plugged in to understand what that might be, what that calling might be. Think of it this way. When you think of missionaries, you think of, oh, isn't it amazing? They sold everything they had. They gave up everything. And they decided to follow the Lord and to go to some foreign field to do a work for the Lord. But we're here in the States. We don't have to sacrifice at all. We can serve the Lord and go right along and have everything we want and have all the conveniences and all of the pleasures. Something don't really sound too right about that, does it? It really doesn't. In reality, the call of God is for us to give ourselves to the Lord, no matter if you're called to a foreign field or if you're called to London, Kentucky. The call of God is for us to put Jesus first and everything else is to have its place. And Jesus is our great example. We read about this in Philippians chapter number 2 today in our text. And looking at verse number 2, fulfill you my joy. This is how you make God happy. This is how you give joy to the Lord. Fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. You're going to notice in this text here that phrase, like-minded or having the same mind, is repeated several times in this text, that we are to have the same mind or the same mindset, the same attitudes that we should have, an attitude that sees things. A mindset is something that you see your life or your world through. It's like you are looking, when you have a mindset, you're looking through a lens of something and to be able to really get the right proper perspective on your life. And so we are to have a mindset, and he mentions three things in this text here. He talks about, number one, that we should have that we should see ourselves. We should be able to see ourselves the way that God sees us. We be like-minded, have the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. We need to get a close look at ourselves and our own life and what seems to be important to us. And then we also need to take a look around us at others that are around us and realize that our motivation needs to be pure. It needs to be right for everything that we are doing in our life. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. We're to have an attitude and a mind that is pleasing to the Lord. Amen. Christ has to be the center of all that we are doing. When he's the center, when he's the focus, when Jesus is the mindset of our life, then everything looks differently, doesn't it? And we look at missionaries and say, isn't it amazing what they're willing to lay down, what they're willing to sacrifice for? Why would it be different for those of us that are following Jesus Christ in this life? We are all called to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, are we not? That's why I have such a problem with many of the high-profile ministries that give such emphasis to prosperity and to having, you know, the finery of this world. Some that have homes in Palm Springs and homes in Florida all of this finery that this world has to offer. That doesn't sound anything like Jesus Christ, does it? It doesn't look at all like the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the mindset that we're to have? He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Have the same mindset that he had. And what was his mindset? Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. He was God, the Son of God, and equal with God. He was a part of the Godhead, but yet he chose to take upon himself the form of a servant. Amen. He took upon himself the form of a servant, who was made in the likeness of men, and was found in fashion as man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That was the mindset that Jesus had. It's the mindset that we all have to have if we're ever going to do anything for God. We all have a mission. We all have a ministry. But you're never going to be able to fulfill that ministry until you understand the whole basis of it is a mindset of sacrifice and a mindset of servanthood. Amen. That's where we are. That's the call of God. And it's not that we climb up the ladder and we finally accomplish something and we become someone. No, the reality is that as you humble yourself and you become a servant to the Lord, then you become usable to God. You become someone that God can use for the work of the kingdom of God. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has also highly exalted him. One of these days, the people that are willing
to have the mindset of Jesus Christ, and to be willing to become a servant. You know, we're so wrapped up in this world. As Pentecostals, as holiness people, we can point out all the things that we think are, you know, worldly, of this world. It's interesting that we totally overlook the fact that you can have a few set rules in your life, but still be so in love with this world. Still follow the ways and the philosophy of this world. And that's the whole problem with establishing rules in your life. Because if you have rules, then what you do is you go as far as you can to make sure that you satisfy whoever has established what the rule is. And instead, what we're to be doing is we're to be identifying with Jesus Christ and allow Him to build in us a desire to please Him. That's what's really important. Are you pleasing the Lord and living a life of a servant before the Lord Jesus Christ? Every one of us have been called of God. We all were created by God. We're saved to go to heaven, but we are also to remember that we are all called to a mission. Amen. You can't get away with that. You can't get away from it. You can't escape it. Every one of us are born. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, you're a missionary. You're called to a mission, to missions. You have a task. You have a responsibility. You have a calling. And that all begins with your attitude and your mindset, like Jesus Christ had, one of servanthood. Amen. It talks about in the text here, not out of strife or vainglory. One of the things that destroys your potential for being used for God is when pride is so destructive. The Bible says that God resists the proud. He pours out grace upon those who humble himself. He empowers those who humble themselves, but God backs away from the self-sufficient and the proud. Amen. One of the things that's pretty distasteful to me about some of the social media stuff is what they call the selfie. How many knows what a selfie is? A selfie is a photograph that you take of yourself. And some people on these Facebook feeds and these different social media feeds, they take pictures of themselves every day, sometimes several times a day. It just gets downright disgusting that you have to look at that constantly, see all their pictures of themselves. One day they got red glasses on, and another day they got a new hairstyle, and it just screams, I love myself. I love myself. I love the way I look. I love the way I sound. I'm so important. I'm so handsome. I'm so beautiful. Oh. I know I'm an old guy, but I don't take those kind of pictures. And if I see one of those, someone takes a picture of me and puts it up there, I'm just going, oh, wish they'd take that picture off of there. I don't want it up there. God resists the proud, doesn't he? God backs up away from the proud, the humble. He's drawn to the humble. The humble person is the person that needs God and recognizes their need for the Lord. And they're running to the Lord because they recognize that they need help from the Lord. If you want to be used of the Lord, if you want to fulfill your call and your mission before God, humble yourself. Take upon the form of a servant. Be willing. Amen. You know, a person, I've heard people talk about being, we're called to some foreign, exotic foreign field, but they're not even involved in their local church. They're not even involved in a ministry in their own local church. They ignore the ministries that they could be involved in right where they are. You're not going to become a missionary in a foreign field until you're willing to become one at home. Amen. And there is a great missionary field all around us. And I've heard people say, why we send all these thousands of dollars to the foreign field when we have all these heathens that are all around us. And it's true that there are many unbelievers. The difference, and we mentioned this on the broadcast this morning, the difference is access. In the United States of America, the majority of the gospel preachers are in America. In America, there's a gospel church on almost every corner,
literally in Laurel County.
Everywhere you look, there's a church. There's all kinds of gospel broadcasting and gospel literature. And even though that this nation is moving away from God, if someone wants to know about God, it's accessible to them. It's not true in a place like Myanmar. It's not true in many of the Asian countries. It's not true in many countries of the world. They could go searching for a Bible and cannot find one. They could go look for a pastor, many of them, and could not find one. So the whole difference is access. So the reason we send them to the foreign field is to give them access to the gospel of Jesus Christ, of which you and I have been so privileged to know all the days of our life. Amen. So we send the gospel, we send them forth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of us were made for a mission. All of us made for a mission. What is your mission? What is it that God has called you to do? If you don't know, you should find out. If you wonder why you're so discontent, you can't seem to find any real joy or pleasure in your life, is because your mindset has got mixed up and confused. You're thinking, if I could just have that bigger, newer home, then I would be happy. If I could just have that nicer, newer vehicle, then my life would be fulfilled. If I just had better clothes or better things of this world, those things, then I would be happy. None of it really makes much difference. It just doesn't. What's really important is that you find your place in the kingdom. That you find out what your mission is, what your calling is before God. And when you find that place, wherever that it might be, if it's a ministry in a Christian learning center, if it's a ministry on a bus route, if it's a ministry working in some other servant capacity, in the work of the kingdom of God, it really doesn't make any difference. Whatever that it might be, when you find your place, then you pour your heart into that as a servant to the work of the kingdom of God. And God uses you in that place. And one of these days, you're going to stand before the Lord just as Christ is now exalted. So you'll have that place of exaltation and prominence whenever you enter into the glories of heaven. Amen. It's all about our willingness to follow in the steps of our Lord. Amen. You see, God is at work in the world around us. And what he wants you to do is to get involved in his plan. The work of the kingdom, the work of God in the world is to bring men to the gospel. To bring men to the gospel. The 7+ billion people that inhabit this planet, of which 1/3 of them have not had an adequate presentation of the gospel. We're not talking millions, we're talking billions of people. We've got a list back there of just some of the unreached people groups in the world. That's just some of them. There are several websites that you can go to read about unreached people groups. That means different tribes, different groups of people in the world that they have, no one has been able or no one has gained access to them to give them the gospel. It's hard for us to think about, to even comprehend that, because we live in a world where the Bible and church, gospel songs and gospel programming and all, it's at our fingertips. But these are people who live in darkness without the gospel. They don't know about Jesus Christ. They don't know about the message of the gospel. There is an estimate of at least 3,000 tribes and people groups who have never received the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many of them do not even have the Bible translated into their own language. And we are so privileged and so blessed in this nation. Amen. God's at work in the world. He wants you and me to get involved in what he is doing, in what he wants to accomplish in these days. Amen. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Jesus Christ himself was the first missionary who left the glories of heaven and came into this world, and his purpose was to bring hope and light into this dark world. That's why he came. And just as he was sent in the world, so have you and I been sent into the world. We are all either those who go or those who help go. Amen. We all have a responsibility to help those to go, to pray for them that go. And as God gives you opportunity, as God gives us the open doors, then we go as well, and we carry the gospel to those that are in the world. This was not just a message to those early disciples. It carries on to today, to these last days, when Jesus came into this world, growing up in a normal household at age 12. His parents lost him at the temple. They go back searching for him and find him. And he said, "Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" He's a 12-year-old, and he already understands why he's in the world. And all the way until he dies on the cross, and his last words are, "It is finished." He wasn't just talking about his physical life. He was talking about why he was sent into the world. "I'm here to do my Father's business." And when he said, "It is finished," I've completed what he sent me to do when he died on the cross to provide redemption for all of mankind. It is finished. I'm telling you that every one of us need to find out what it is that God wants us to do. We need to find out. Amen. Parents, you need to be praying for your children and your young people that they find their place in the kingdom of God, and that it not be something that's all just about themselves and what they want to do in their life and their future and their career and them being somebody important in this world. It's important that they understand that they're doing the will of God and that they're doing something important for the kingdom of God. I can remember when I first talked to my unsaved dad about the ministry. My dad didn't understand. He could not figure it out. One of the things my dad said to me was, "Well, I know this. You'll never have anything if you're in the ministry. If you're a preacher, you'll just never have anything in this life." Well, I was young, and it kind of struck me somewhat, almost a little bit afraid. I'll never have anything. But in reality, I have to tell you, most of the things that I ever dreamed about and ever longed for, God has given to me in different ways, amazing and wonderful ways throughout the years. I'm not at all ungrateful. I'm so thankful to the Lord because I understand that He is the one who provides for us and takes care of us in any area of our life. Hallelujah. Amen. Whatever that it might be. People that in ministry, many times they do have to sacrifice, and they do go through times of their life when they're sacrificing, but we take upon the call of God of servanthood to do what the Lord would have us to do, and then He rewards in many amazing and wonderful ways. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we give Him glory and praise for that. Just as Jesus knew why He was in the world, my question to you today is, do you know why you're in this world? Do you know, I remember Brother Clendenin talking about that he was 70 years old when it finally dawned on him, all of his ministry, all of his study. If you've ever looked at the School of Christ materials, it's a book that's that thick. And it's basically the life message of Brother Clendenin and all the messages and all the materials and that he studied, and he compiled all that together, and it's still being taught all over the world, in over 100 nations of the world. Those materials are being taught. But all of his ministry, he said he was 70 years old when it finally dawned on him, this is why I'm here. This is my purpose. And for the next 17 years, he traveled like a wild man all over the world, carrying the gospel and establishing this training opportunity for people and disciples all over the world. And he did that because he found out why he was in this world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So it doesn't matter if you're 12 years old or if you're 70 years old, you need to be pursuing it. Lord, what do you want me to do for the rest of my life? What do you want me to be doing from this day forward? I want to be in step with your plan and with your mission, what you want me to do. You know, there's no greater privilege than to be involved in the work of the kingdom of God. I don't know of anything more important than this. One of the reasons why I so look forward to these meetings is because we recognize that we're partnering with all these people. And we're having our part, and we're,
we're encouraging them. And every year the Lord sends some of the same ones back, but every year there are new ones that come along that haven't been here before. And that's the case this year, that there are some missionaries that will be here that have never been here before. Other missionaries that are coming this year that are brand new and are on their way to the mission field. I'm talking about places we've never sent missionaries to before, the Canary Islands. And it's just, to me, it's just so amazing how that God raises up people to send people to different fields of work all over the world. And we just anticipate that God is at work. And you and I are so privileged to be a partner with them. 2 Corinthians 6:1. We are workers together with Christ. Workers together. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. What a privilege it is to represent Jesus Christ wherever you are. Amen. Your mission field, for those of you that aren't necessarily called to a foreign field, your mission field is over your back fence. Your mission field is in your among your family and around the community, or those that you work with and associate with. You have a mission field, and if you go forth with that kind of a spirit, that you're there to minister to them and to show them how to serve the Lord, and that you're always representing Jesus Christ wherever you go. Amen. Hallelujah. The thing that's so important about this is that time is passing away. Time is passing away. And every year when missions conference time comes around, I wonder, Lord, is this the last one for us? Is this the last one that we'll have? Help us to be busy, Lord, in these last moments of time before that Jesus comes, that we live out the days of our life fulfilling the call and the purpose of God. Amen. Do you have a mission from the Lord? Do you? Do you have a call of God upon your life? If you're born again of the Spirit, you do. You do. You're called of God. And wherever you are in whatever ministry you're involved in, do it with all of your heart. You know, your mission will give your life a meaning. Otherwise, then things has to be all that you're wrapped up in. And you don't have to spend much time around someone, but what you don't find out, what is important in their life? They'll get around to talking about it. It may be their family. It may be their possessions, their cars, or their things of this world that they own. You don't have to spend much time with people, but what you recognize, what's important to them. May we all be stirred in our hearts that this mission is the most important thing in our life. Nothing is more important than serving the Lord with all of our heart and reaching those who need Jesus Christ. Someone said the best use of your life is to spend it for something that outlasts it. Amen. The best use of your life is to spend it for something that will outlast it. That's how you can outlive your life, by investing in the kingdom of God. Amen. Year after year, we experienced that. And even through Good News Outreach, which was the vision of God through Brother Huff. But Good News Outreach continues to support and sends forth funds into the mission field every year. And our conference has partnered with Good News Outreach to bless missionaries all over the world. And even though Brother Huff's been in heaven for over 2 years, that vision was the heart of God. That vision goes on today because it's the heart of God, and God abundantly supplies, and you can outlive your life if you're willing to take upon the form of a servant, if you're willing to make a commitment to the kingdom of God and live out the days of your life for souls. That's all that really matters. Is there a cost? Oh, yes. There is a cost involved. You have to lay aside your plans, your agenda, the things that seem to be important to you, and place your life and your future into the hands of the Lord. Really, I wanted to do this, but didn't get it done this morning. I want to give everybody a sheet of paper with this phrase at the top of it, made for a mission. And at the very bottom, a line there where you could put your signature there, Abigail Gilpin, James Hacker, Jordan Hacker, whatever your name is. You'd sign your name there, and you leave the page blank, and then you just hand it into the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. I'm yours. I know you created me for a mission. I sign my life over to you. My signature is there. I'm yours for whatever you want to do with me. And if you really mean it, if you really mean it, then the Lord can do some wonderful and amazing things through your life. Acts 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. That was the apostles' declaration. Here's where I get my great joy. My great joy. I don't count my life dear. That's not what's important to me. My great joy comes from this ministry that you've given to me, that I am able to do the message, to testify of the gospel of the grace of God wherever that I go. That's where I get my joy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I trust that we will move into this week with that kind of an anticipation of what God wants to do, that you'll accept the challenge from God by His Spirit, that you were put here for a purpose. And you're never really going to find joy until you get in step with the plan of God for your life. And I encourage you to listen to God's voice and God's Spirit throughout this week. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to partner in the work of the kingdom of God. And I thank you, Lord, for each one here in this local church. And I know, Lord, you have a plan for us. And we can't even imagine the great and mighty things that you might want to do, Lord, if we're just willing to lay down our lives for you, to sacrifice for the work of the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord, that there are things outside of this world that are so much more important. Houses and lands and cars and possessions. All of those things are passing away. But Lord, thank you that you can cause us to turn our attention to eternal things, and we can outlive our life by investing in the things of the kingdom of God. Help us, Lord, to get in step with that mission, that calling that you have for each one of us to do the will of the Father. In Jesus' name.